Introducing Eli Weber, 9:01 on a Tuesday morning, and the Frating Eshkolel on with Zoom, Sefer Mitzvot, perhaps, which mitzvot are you discussing, Eli?
Okay, it's not clear if it's a standalone mitzvah. That's part of the introduction. I've titled it in English, As If We Left Egypt. It is based on the idea that Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim, which is translated as, in every generation, each of us is obligated to see ourselves as if we ourselves left Egypt. Okay, now let's try to put this idea in context. We have a mitzvah d'oraita of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay, that's a different mitzvah than the daily mitzvah that we have of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, which we're yotzei generally via saying Kriyat Shema, right? The third parasha of Kriyat Shema, Daber Nevom Vasul Em Tzitzit, right?
Leman Tizkiru.
Thank you. I was going to get there eventually. Leman Tizkiru Va'asitem Et Kol Mitzvotai.
When did we send our source sheet?
Huh?
When did the source sheet go out?
This morning. It's on your email list.
This morning?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Arthur, can you post it, like, to the screen?
I didn't get it.
Okay.
Arthur, he'll post it to, muted.
He'll post it to the screen. It doesn't matter. So far, I've just been saying it by heart. But the point is, there is a mitzvah, a unique mitzvah on Pesach of retelling the story of the Exodus. But separate and apart from that, there is this idea of seeing oneself as if he himself left Egypt, which might be part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, but more likely is a standalone mitzvah, that we have to somehow see ourselves as if we left Egypt. Now I'm looking at the sheet. If you have it, that's great. If you don't, maybe Arthur posts it, or I'll just read it to you.
But I just sent it out to the group.
Okay,
so I sent out to your group. Everyone should have an email or your phone.
Okay. So the pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel of Shmot says, "V'higadeta levincha bayom ahu leimor, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li bitzeiti mimitzrayim." Now, there's something strange about the grammar in that pasuk. V'higadeta levincha bayom ahu leimor, you'll tell your son on that day, saying, what's the strange part? Anybody? All right, I'll tell you. Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li bitzeiti mimitzrayim. What does it mean, li?
Me.
Did I leave Egypt? Did you leave Egypt?
For so me.
The diuk in the pasuk is ba'avur ze asa Hashem li bitzeiti mimitzrayim, that we are supposed to experience Leil HaSeder as if it happened to us personally. Okay? And that's what the Mishnah says in source number 2. The Mishnah says, and we know it because it's quoted almost word for word in the Haggadah, Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. Right? There is a mitzvah that in every generation, a person has to see himself as if he himself were rescued, as if he himself were redeemed from Egypt. Okay? Now, it sounds like just a lovely idea that to make the, you know, to make Leil HaSeder more immediate, that the Torah requires us as if we left Egypt. But it is brought down lahalacha, we'll see in the Rambam, it is a standalone mitzvah that we are supposed to see ourselves as if we left Egypt, which raises the following interesting question. And maybe it's a chakira. Okay. Into what, let's just assume for a second, there is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, perhaps d'oraita, but there's a mitzvah nonetheless of each of us seeing ourselves or feeling ourselves as if we left Egypt personally. Now, broadly speaking, there are two categories of mitzvot aseh that we've seen over the years and that we look at generally. There are mitzvot aseh that are simply actions. Okay? There's an action, to put on tefillin, right? That is a mitzvot aseh. There's an action to blow shofar. That is a mitzvot aseh, right? There's an action called putting on tzitzit. That's a mitzvot aseh. The act itself translates into a mitzvah. If you pick up a lulav and esrog, hadasim and aravot, you're yotzei the mitzvah of dalet minim. There's another category of mitzvahs that are not really action-based, but they call them result-oriented. It's a feeling, right? Ahavat Hashem is a mitzvah d'oraita. How do you do it? That's kind of up to you. Yirat Hashem is a mitzvah d'oraita. How do you do it? Again, kind of up to you. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So there are some people who understand that as action-based, but for the most part, we would think v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means I am supposed to feel love or closeness to other Jews. Okay, now obviously there are some mitzvot that straddle the two together. Let's say Kriyat Shema, it might be a mitzvah d'oraita of reciting Kriyat Shema. At the same time, there's a mitzvah d'oraita of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, of accepting God's kingship upon us. Okay, now the question is, into which category does the mitzvah of Bechol Dor Vodor Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim? Into which category of mitzvahs is the obligation that we see ourselves as if we left Egypt? So the simple answer presumably would be, well, it's a feeling. There are no specific actions that you have to take. It's a result-oriented, it's a feeling-oriented mitzvah. And however you get there, if you get to a situation in which you feel as if you left Egypt, then you've been yotzei the mitzvah. The other possibility is no. That there are specific actions that we're supposed to take that yield that feeling. But if we take the actions, presumably we'd be yotzei the mitzvah because that's how Chazal understood the mitzvah. What are actions that might fulfill the obligation of seeing ourselves as if we left Egypt?
A whole Seder.
Okay, but let's do specific ones. It's true that at some level it's the whole Seder. But if you have to pick out a few things that are intended for us to feel like we left Egypt.
Matzah.
Okay. Those are d'oraita, so they make it harder. I would say, and I would say this because I prepared, I would say that there are drabanan things that we do that we don't really think of as standalone mitzvot, but might be part of this mitzvah.
Haseva,
for example, right? You said that. Leaning to the side. Maybe it's not a self-contained mitzvah. We'll have to look at that. Maybe it's just there to generate within us the feeling that it's as if we left Egypt and we're free. Another one might be Dalet Kosot, right? It's a mitzvah drabanan to drink 4 cups of wine. Presumably the drinking of cups of wine lead us to a feeling as if it happened to us. Okay, so it's going to turn out that at least superficially and maybe substantively as well, that's a major machloket harishonim, whether the mitzvah is just a feeling mitzvah or the mitzvah is defined by actions. Okay, but let's just read through source number 2, the Mishnah and Psachim, so we can get some context. The Mishnah says again, "Bechol," this is the key line, "Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam mimitzrayim." In every generation, one has to see himself as if he left Egypt. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, source number 1, v'higadeta lebincha bayomahu lemor, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li bitzeitim mimitzrayim. Because of this, right, we're doing all this because God rescued me personally from Mitzrayim. And the Mishnah continues, and we know this from the Haggadah. Lefikach, therefore, anachnu chayavim lehodot, lehalel, leshabeach, lefaer, leromeim, lehader, levarech, lealeu, lekales, all similar verbs to praise. Lemisha asala avotenu vulanu et kol hanisim ha'elu. Right? Because God took us out of Egypt, therefore, we are obligated to praise him. What did he do for us? Hotzianu me'avdut l'cheirut. He took us out from slavery to freedom. Mi'agon l'simcha, from pain to joy. Me'evel, from mourning. L'yom tov, to holiday. U'me'afela, fog. La'or gadol, a great light. U'mishibud l'gula, from bondage to freedom. V'nomai l'fanav haluka. Okay, so here you have the Mishnah really laying the whole thing out for us. In every generation, we're supposed to feel as if we left Egypt, right, based on the Pasuk. Therefore, we have to praise God. That's basically the Mishnah. Okay, and the Mishnah is codified by the Rambam in source number 3, in Ilchot Chametzu Matzah Perek Zayin Alachavav. But you'll see right away that the Rambam almost certainly had a different girsa, a different text in the Mishnah, and therefore he makes a subtle change in how he codifies the halacha. Source number 3 says the Rambam, Bichol dor vador chayav adam leharot et atzmo ki'ilu hu be'atzmo yatsa ata mishibud mitzrayim. Okay? It is essentially the first line of the Mishnah, but it's changed. What's the key change?
He has to show himself.
As opposed to?
To see himself.
As opposed to feeling it himself, I would say. Right? The Mishnah says, Lirot et atzmo, which is, to see himself, which I translate to mean to feel it. But the Rambam says, Leharot et atzmo, not lirot et atzmo, but leharot et atzmo, which means to show himself. And you could dismiss the diuk and say, the language doesn't really matter. Essentially, it's the same thing. But many achronim understood that the Rambam is saying something different, or the Rambam had a different Mishnah. That the Rambam's Mishnah said it's an act-based mitzvah. How am I yotzei the mitzvah of seeing myself as if I left Egypt? I'm yotzei it by showing myself, by doing particular actions that lead somebody who looks at me to conclude that I am a person who left Egypt. Okay? And the Rambam adds another word. Again, the Rambam's girsa, ki'ilu hu be'atzmo yatsa ata mishibud mitzrayim, as if the person left when? Not 3,300 and something years ago, but ata, right now. Okay? So one approach, one understanding of the Rambam is that it is an act-based mitzvah. You have to do certain things that show other people, that make it appear to other people. There are certain acts that make it appear as if you yourself just left Egypt. Okay? That's based on the Rambam's girsa of the Mishnah, which is different than the Mishnah that we have in source number 2. Okay, the opposite opinion is quoted in the name of the Avudraham in source number 4. The Avudraham from North Africa, Rabbi, I can't remember his full name. He's in the 1300s, could be the 1200s, I should have looked it up, but he's a Rishon. And he basically wrote the first Perush on the Siddur. Okay, it's just called the Avudraham, and it has a section on the Haggadah. Source number 4 says the Avudraham, Bechol dor vodor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. Okay, that's our Mishnah. That's the same text of the Mishnah that we have in source number 2. And now he explains. Kilomar. That is to say, sheyireh v'yabit be'atzmo, that he sees himself or he feels himself ki'ilu hu haya eved, as if he was a slave. V'yatza l'chayrut mimitzrayim. And he left to freedom from Egypt. V'zeu shamar hakatuv. Whoever's asking if I could put the sources on the screen, I don't know how to. Arthur, can you?
Yeah, I sent in the chat. I sent everyone a copy. As people come in late, I could send it again.
Yeah, but it saves. It doesn't come up on the screen. You have to save it and then find it.
Okay, but then I don't see anybody. Give me a second here. Oh, that's not where I want to be.
This is actually just a... This is just a test of Arthur's technical skills.
What's the never open? Come on.
Come on, Arthur, man. What are we paying you for?
Yeah. You can have half the salary back.
There we go.
But there we go.
All right. Yeah, Arthur, it's an older group, but we don't need 200%.
There we go.
Okay. Okay. Great. So now I can put away my lap. No.
You're going to see this, Elsa.
It's too big.
Arthur,
too big.
You made it too big. Okay, yeah, good. Okay, so now I could look. I can actually see what's going on. Okay. So the Avudraham is understood as follows. The Avudraham is understood as having said that Sheyirevi Yabit Ba'atzmo. It's not an action-based mitzvah. The mitzvah of Leil HaSeder is to make ourselves feel as if we left Egypt. Now, how do you do that? I think the Avudraham would say, it's completely up to you. Feel what you have to feel, do what you have to do to generate within you the sense that you yourself left Egypt. Okay, whereas for the Rambam, it's an act-based mitzvah. And I'll show you how we know this. Again, source number 3 was Perek Zayin Halacha Vav of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah in the Rambam, when he said, Chayav Adam Leharot Et Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Ba'atzmo Yatsa Atam Yishibun Mitzrayim. You have to show yourself as if you left Egypt. The next Rambam, Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, I have on the sheet as source number 5. Right? And here you see it. The Rambam says, how do I fulfill the mitzvah of showing myself as if I left Egypt? So the Rambam says as follows in source number 5. Lefikach, therefore, kishesoed adam belayla hazeh, when a person sits down to eat at the Seder, tzarich le'achol v'lishtot, he has to eat and drink, Vahu may save derech chayrut, and he reclines or he leans in the fashion of free people. Okay, let's just stop there. We just came across a huge chiddush in the Rambam and in the mitzvah that we're discussing. Normally, when we think of the mitzvah of Haseba, we think, okay, when you eat matzah, you have to lean. When you drink Dalit Kosos, you have to lean. When you do certain things at the Seder, you have to lean. Says the Rambam, no, it's not limited to certain things. The Rambam here doesn't say when you eat matzah, when you eat Dalit. The Rambam says when you have your meal at the Seder, you're supposed to do it leaning. Why? Because that's how people who are just redeemed eat their meals. Similarly, let's continue reading in source number 5 in the Rambam. V'chol echad ve'echad, each person, bein anashim, bein nashim, whether men or women, chayav lishtot belayla hazeh ha'arba kosot shel yayin, are obligated to drink on this night the dalet kosot of wine. Okay, ein po chatin mehem, you can't do less than 4, va'afilu ani amid parnes min atzdaka, even a poor person who relies on charity, Lo yifchitu lo me'aba kosot, shiur kol kos mehen revi'it. Okay, even a poor person has to drink dalet kosot of at least the revi'it. But what's the Rambam really saying here? The Rambam is saying there is a mitzvah of seeing yourself as if you left Egypt. How does one do that mitzvah? In two different ways. One, when he eats at Leil HaSeder, he has to lean. Two, he drinks Dalet Kosot. Both of those are things that a person who was redeemed from Egypt would do to show that he was redeemed, to show how pleased he was that he was redeemed. Okay? So again, what the Rambam has done here is shown us that the mitzvah of Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Kihilu Yatsam Im Mitzrayim is act-based. And two of the specific ways in which you can fulfill the mitzvah is by leaning at the Seder. And again, let's be clear. This is not leaning for Korech or for Dalet Kosot or for Matzah or for the Haggadah. This is leaning for your meal, okay? It's a separate and independent requirement which shows people that you feel like you're redeemed from Egypt. Similarly, the Dalet Kosot are a standalone mitzvah d'Rabbanan, but they're based on this idea of showing yourself as if you left Egypt. Okay. Now, let's take a minute to talk about Haseba, to talk about leaning and its role in the Seder. So the first thing we just saw in the Rambam is that until this moment, we had assumed that Haseba was, how would you call it, was an adjunct to existing mitzvahs. So for example, when you eat matzah, part of the mitzvah of eating matzah is to do it behaseba. Says the Rambam, not necessarily. Not that the Rambam doesn't think you have to lean when you eat matzah, but the Rambam seems to be saying that haseba is a standalone obligation as a subcategory of the mitzvah of seeing ourselves as if we left Egypt. So therefore, there's not one moment in time in which you're supposed to lean. It's a mitzvah for the whole night. When you have your meal, which we don't think of normally as being the significant part of the Seder, but the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam thinks one of the big deals of the night is to have a fancy meal. Why? Because that's what people who are freed from slavery do. They have a fancy meal. They lean during the meal. They drink Dalet Kosot. They lean when they drink the Dalet Kosot, because all of that shows that we feel like, all that shows that we were redeemed from Egypt. Okay, now let's take a minute and look at source number 6, how the Shulchan Aruch paskins the halacha of Haseba. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, Simon Tov Ayin Beit, Se'if Zayin and Arachayim, call me Shetzarich Haseba, anybody who has the mitzvah of leaning, im achal o shata belo Haseba, lo yatsa. Right? Anytime you have an obligation to eat, if you ate or drank without leaning, you were not yotze. Vitzarich lachzor le'achol v'lishtot behaseba. Wow. You have to go back and eat again or drink again with haseba. So, presumably, in the Shulchan Aruch, this doesn't mean if you ate your soup, right, or you ate matzo balls without leaning, that you have to go back and eat soup again, or eat matzo balls again. It can't be that that's what it means. But it probably means if you ate matzah or korech or drank Dalet Kosos without leaning, that you would have to go back and do it again. Says the Rama on the second line, V'yesh omrim de'bizman hazeh de'ein derech lahasev. There are some who claim that because during our times, people don't really do haseba generally, right? When we eat dinner, we sit on tables. We sit on chairs, I'm sorry. You know, we don't lean on the couch. So he says, some people claim, kidayu haravya lismoch alav, shebidiyeved yatsa below haseba. Some people say that since bizman hazeh, we don't really lean generally. So the Rav Yahu said, you don't really have a mitzvah of Haseba, Bizman Hazeh, because we don't lean generally. Okay, so maybe you don't have to eat matzah again or drink the dalet kozos again if you forgot to lean, because it's not really a mitzvah bizman hazeh. Let's continue. Third line in the middle. V'nireli, it seems to me, says the Rama, im lo shata kos shlishi o kos rivi'i behaseba, ein lachzor lishtot behaseba, diyesh bo chashash shenira kimosif ala kosot. Aval bishne kosot harishonot, yachzor v'yishte b'lo bracha, v'chein ba'achilat matzah. And now, okay, so it's basically as follows. There may be a distinction between the first two kosot and the last two kosot. He says if you didn't lean during the first two kosot, you should drink again. Why should you drink again? Because there's no downside. You're not making another bracha, right? And so what's wrong if you have another drink of wine after Kiddush, or if you have another drink of wine at the end of Magid? But he says after the meal, it starts looking like some form of Baal Tosif, right? Because you're not allowed to drink more. During the meal, you could claim, I'm just drinking more because I like drinking. But after benching, and certainly after Hallel in the Haggadah, you're not supposed to drink anymore.
Why? Okay, how does that work, Eli? Why doesn't that work for the first two cups, which are done during the Magid? I mean, you could say the same thing.
You could, but nobody warns us. In theory, you know, if you made Kiddush, and then you realize that you didn't lean, and so you drank another kos of wine, it doesn't conflict with anything. There's no halacha that says you're not allowed to drink two cups of wine, you know, after you make Kiddush. There's no halacha that says you can't drink another cup of wine before you sit down for the meal. But once you bench, and once you drink the third kos, which is what you do during benching on the Seder, now the halacha says you're not supposed to do anything else that's not stated in the Haggadah. And if you drink another cup of wine, it looks like you're changing what's required in the Haggadah, and we'd like to stay away from that. Okay? So the first two, you drink again, but without a bracha. And here, the Rama says the main thing in the last full line at the end, v'chein ba'achilat matzah. Once, same halacha. If you ate matzah without leaning, he says you have to re-eat the matzah. And if you look in source number 7 in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Haynu sheyachzar v'yochal akizayit matzah ubelo bracha." You should eat matzah again, but obviously you shouldn't make a bracha. Now, this kind of ties into something that we've seen before and something that's generally true. Okay? We normally say safek brachot lahakel, right? If you can't remember whether you made a bracha, you don't make another bracha. Because brachos are drabanan almost always, and you know, there's no need to muck around with it. But what if you don't remember whether you did a mitzvah? What if you don't remember whether you took lulav or not? Or you have a safek whether you're a yotze? So the answer is always going to be, if it's a mitzvah de oraisa, do it again, but probably don't make a bracha. Because if you make a bracha, it might be a bracha levatala, right? We're not supposed, that's a prohibition in the Torah. So let's stay away from making a bracha. But you could be yotzei the mitzvah without the bracha, right? Everybody agrees that if you ate matzah without making a bracha, you yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. If you heard shofar without making a bracha, you yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. It's true, you lost out on the bracha. But so what? You still get the mitzvah. So here too, if you ate matzah, let's say you didn't lean, so eat matzah again, but of course don't make a bracha. Okay? So here we see the dual role of Haseba. On the one hand, Haseba exists independent of any particular part of the Seder, meaning, according to the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it here also, you should lean as much as you can. You should lean when you eat soup, although I can tell you from experience that that's dangerous, right? You should lean when you eat any part of your meal. And certainly, you should lean when you drink dalet kosot and when you eat the matzah. So Haseba now plays a role within matzah, meaning there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. How do you eat it? With Haseba. But there's also a standalone mitzvah of Haseba, which is simply to help you feel throughout the night as if you yourself left Egypt. Okay, what are other ways that a person could feel as if he's free and as if he left Egypt? So look at source number 8. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, and you know, I think a halacha that we all do instinctively, but probably didn't know that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Source number 8 says the Mechaber, Yisader shulchano yafeh bikelim na'im kefi kocho. What does that mean? It means one is supposed to set his table with the nicest cutlery and the nicest, you know, I don't know, the nicest place settings that he has. Now, why is that?
No disposable paper?
So you can't say no disposable paper, but what you can say is, you know, circumstances matter. And this year there's huge discussions in America more than here. There's huge discussions. You know, there are people who've never ever stayed home for Pesach before. And because of the virus, you know, they can't go to hotels. All the programs are closed down. These are people who don't have, you know, plates. They don't have pots. They don't have any of this stuff. And, you know, there's big discussions now in America in particular where, let's say, you know, there's no kelim mikvah. You're quarantined in your house. You can't be tovel things. So I think rabbis are suggesting this year that, you know, you can use disposable dishes for your Seder. I can tell you this. If you go to the store and you have, you know, the cheapo kind, or you have what they have now, really fancy kinds that you could buy. So this Shulchan Aruch, this Mechaber would make you seem that as a halachic matter, if you can afford it, you should probably try to invest in better dishes and in better cutlery. Why? Because the point is you're supposed to feel as if you left Egypt. And one of the ways of doing that is to feel like you're at a banquet and to feel as if, you know, you're splurging on your meal.
Fancy paper plates.
Okay. Let's continue in source number 8. V'yachin makom moshavo sheyeshev beheseba derech heirut. Don't just set a beautiful table, but set a place for the people to be able to lean. Okay? Hagan, the Ramah says, second line, va'afilu ani she'ein lo karim, even a poor person who doesn't have any pillows, yeshev al asafsal. He should try to sit maybe on a couch or, you know, not on the floor. The point is, everybody needs to try to set a table and set places for themselves when, if you sit down, you feel like this is a unique meal. You feel like this is special. You feel like you're doing something that expresses that you yourself were saved from Egypt. The Mishnah Brura, in the second paragraph of source number 8, says, "Bekelim na'im." Why is this so unique? So here he's going to quote a halacha that most of us don't really observe. He says, "Va'af al gav de'bichal hashana tov lema'et bezeh mishum zecher lechorban." Even though bizman hazeh, we're not really supposed to set banquet tables during the course of the year, and really the halacha is you're supposed to leave something off your table, zecher lechorban, to remind you of the destruction. Says the Mishnah Berurah that doesn't apply at the Seder. He says, "Beleil Pesach mitzvah leharbot." No, there's a mitzvah to set a beautiful table. Shezehu bichlal derech chirut, because that's the mitzvah of showing that you are free. That's the mitzvah of bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. And now he quotes a famous story, but fascinating. I don't really understand it completely, about the Maharil. Maharil is early on, 1200s. V'amru ala Maharil, shekishehayu biyado mishkinot or mashkanot shel nachrim, kelim na'im. Apparently the Maharil, either he was in the lending business or as a communal rav, somehow Gentiles left beautiful objects with him.
Okay? Pawnbroker.
Okay, maybe pawnbroker, don't know. So he says, generally speaking, the Maharil hid this stuff all year long. Lo hayam mishtamesh bahem b'shum pam. He never used the kalim, the beautiful items that these Gentiles left with him. However, he says, rak bePesach hayam min hagol lahasim otam al shulchan miyuchad lismoach bereiatam.
Isn't it a problem using kalim from Goyim?
Ah, so it might be, but it's not. It doesn't say he used them.
Maharil was a yekka.
Even though he was a yekki, he still kept halacha.
They had very nice porcelain.
Okay, but he says, that's not what it says. Look at the last line in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Hayam min hago lehasim otam al shulchan miyuchad. He would put them on a special separate table. Lismoach bir'iyatam. He didn't use them, but he used them for decorations. It's kind of interesting. He used them to feel rich. And many of the commentaries say that it was a reminder of, you know, B'sha'alah Isha, when we left Egypt, we borrowed fancy stuff. And that's a fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham of V'acharechein yetzu b'rechush gadol. And afterwards, you'll go out with great wealth. The idea being that the Maharil showed off his wealth. Now, it wasn't really his, but he used it to emphasize the feeling that we're all supposed to feel, if not rich, we're supposed to feel blessed, and we're supposed to feel as if God right now took us out of Egypt. Another expression of this, again, it's hard, they're all quoted in halacha. It's hard to say that they're black and white halachos, but it allows us to say that anything we could do to make us feel different, as if we left Egypt, we should do. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 9. The Aruch HaShulchan says, "Umikal makom yihyeh shulchano aruch miba'od yom." The Aruch HaShulchan says there's a special mitzvah to set the Seder table early during the day. Kiderech b'nei chorin, as free rich people do, sheshulchanam aruch zman rav kodem ha'achila. Meaning, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, when you go to a banquet and you get there, they're not setting up the tables for you. It's set up in advance. The Aruch HaShulchan sees this as something that that rich people do or fancy people do. One of the things they do is they set the table in advance. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if that's the kind of thing that's going to help us feel as if we left Egypt, we should do that as well. Now, it's fascinating, just because it's fascinating that somebody would codify a halacha that you should set your table early. But it's even more meaningful to me because it expands the mitzvah to Erev Pesach. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan says, even Erev Pesach, you can start feeling as if you yourself left Egypt. How do you do that? Well, when you walk by the dining room and you see that the table is set, it helps you feel special. It helps you feel like this is a unique night. It helps you feel like you're a rich person who's being pampered. And the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say this, but I'll expand to say anything we could do to feel pampered before the Seder would work. It would help. So in a normal year, I would say, you know, getting a haircut. Okay, I don't know if that's possible nowadays. But to me, you know, not rushing, right? Taking a shower and getting dressed an hour before instead of 15 minutes before, right? All the things that we can do that make us feel like this is different and this is special and that we're not under pressure and we're relaxed and we have everything under control. You know, setting the Seder plate early. I know that my wife started this, but it's a lovely thing. Putting out kittels on chairs. Okay? Putting out nameplates for guests. Maybe no one's having guests this year. But all the artificial things we could do, you know, when you come to the table and everybody has a nameplate at their place, right? Yeah, it sounds hokey. But it also works. It makes you feel like this is special, right? let's say we're all still stuck on in our homes on Pesach. Nevertheless, inconceivable that we don't wear our fanciest, inconceivable that we don't wear our fanciest clothing, that people who normally would wear ties and jackets, right? All of these things are halachic expressions of the mitzvah of feeling as if we left the Exodus. And it works for either shita. According to the Abu Draham, you would say, it's not a mitzvah, but if it helps me feel it, the mitzvah is to feel as if I left Egypt. Anything that I could do that would help me feel it, I should do. But according to the Rambam, and it's true, I'm expanding it a little bit, and maybe I'm wrong to do this, but I think according to the Rambam, all of these acts constitute the mitzvah. You hear what I'm saying? The mitzvah is to show ourselves as if we left Egypt. How do we do that? We drink Dalet Kosot for sure. We lean for sure. But we also set a beautiful table. And we also, I would claim, and we also put out plates. And we shower early and we dress up. All of these things that we do are part of the mitzvah of allowing ourselves to feel as if we ourselves left Egypt. Now, why is this so important? Because it may be critical for the next step in the Haggadah. Okay, what's the next step in the Haggadah after we do all of these things? And it's listed in the Haggadah. I'll quote it in source number 10 from the Rambam's Haggadah. The Rambam says, Lefikach anu chayavim lahodos lahalel lishabech lefa'er leromeim legadel lahadel lenatzeach lemisha asa lanu v'la'avoteinu et kol hanisim ha'elu. It could be that the only reason we have a mitzvah to say Hallel at the Leil HaSeder, or the only way we can say Hallel, is if we feel it. Right? That's a chiddush, but I'm quite sure that it's true, and I know other, you know, there are many people who have said it. Think about it this way. When do we say Hallel at night? The answer is never, except for Pesach. Okay? Some of us have the minhag of saying Hallel in Shul when we daven. Let's leave that aside for now. But we don't say Hallel on Shavuos night. We don't say Hallel on Pesach night. We don't say Hallel on Chanukah at night. We only do it at the Leil HaSeder. And there's something very strange about the way that we do it at the Leil HaSeder. We say the first part of Hallel before the meal, and we say the second part of Hallel at the end of the meal. This is something we never do. We never split up Hallel in the middle. And everybody seems to agree that the Hallel that we say at the Seder is different than the Hallel that we say, that we'll say this Thursday, you know, for Rosh Chodesh, and the Hallel that we say on other holidays. It is what we would refer to as a Hallel of Shira, of song, which means essentially it's spontaneous. We have, once we feel as if God has redeemed us from Egypt, we have an obligation to praise him. And it's only if we feel it that we can do it. And therefore, many people point out, it's fascinating, you know, Lefikach anu chayavim lahodot. If we do, we say Magid, okay? We tell Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, and we lean, and we drink Dalet Kosot, and we do all of these things that generate within us the feeling as if God redeemed us, then and only then, Lefikach anu chayavim lahodot. Only then are we obligated to do it. Because if we don't feel it, then there's no halachic source and there's no halachic justification for saying Hallel. And many people point out in the language of the Rambam and in other places as well, I bolded the word. We praise God, end of the first line, Lemi she'asa lanu, to us, and only after us, v'la'avoteinu. Right? It's a great diuk. We're supposed to say Hallel for something that God did to us or for us. But he didn't do it to us or for us. because we were never in Egypt. But the answer is, after we go through the process of Magid, after we've done all of these things, when we get to the very end, yes, we're supposed to feel as if God redeemed us, literally us, as well as our forefathers. And that generates within us the obligation to say Hallel. Because the obligation to say Hallel at the Seder is not Amirat HaHallel, the recitation of Hallel, as we do all year long, but it's a Shira. It's a spontaneous reaction. It's almost like when we walked out of Kriyat Yamsuf, what'd we do? We said Shirat Hayam. We said Az Yashir. Why? It was spontaneous. We had no choice. When something significant happens in our lives, you know, we want to thank God and we want to praise God immediately. Not because we looked it up in Shulchan Aruch and there's an obligation to do it, but because we owe him our thanks. A quick story. At one of them, at the Shloshim for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, his son-in-law told the following story, that it happened that one of Lichtenstein's daughters delivered and had a daughter, and then something went terribly wrong. And she was in, you know, she was in surgery and the baby was at risk. And so he said, you know, we got to the waiting room and there were all the grandparents, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal among them, you know, saying Tehillim, as you would express, as you would expect. And he said he didn't know how long the Tehillim went on for, but at some point the doctor came in, the surgeon came in and said, Mazal Tov, you know, the baby's fine, your daughter's fine, everybody's fine. And he said, like, it was such a feeling of relief and that people were hugging each other. But he said he noticed that Rav Lichtenstein was still saying Tehillim. And so he said, I thought to myself, maybe he didn't hear the doctor because he was saying Tehillim with great Kavanah. So he said, I kind of went over to him and I pulled on his sleeve a little bit and I said, Mazal Tov, did you hear? You know, everybody's fine. And Rav Lichtenstein said, I heard. He said, but we've been saying so many Pirkei Bakasha, we've been davening to God to answer our prayers. He said, doesn't God deserve some Pirkei Hoda'ah? I mean, Rav Lichtenstein just switched from saying Tehillim, asking God for help, to saying Tehillim, thanking God for having saved his daughter and his granddaughter, right? We're not, you know, we're not that kind of person, but we have that instinct that when God answers our prayers, when God does something for us, right? I don't know, if we won the lottery, presumably a religious Jew won the lottery, would praise God and would thank God, and it would just be spontaneous. And so what we do at the Seder, Hallel is just the result of the feeling we get as we go through the Seder that we ourselves were redeemed from Egypt. Now, last point, and then we'll tie it together. Source number 11. Rava says, this is the Gemara in Kuf Tazayin, Amar Rava Tzarich Shiomar Va'otanu Hotzi Misham. Okay? That's the pasuk in Dvarim. Literally, we're supposed to say to God that you took us out of Egypt. Okay, that's Rava's Shita. Now, what's fascinating is Rava has a similar Shita in the Gemara and Megillah, which ties into exactly what we're saying. Okay, this is something that I found in Rav Mirsky has a Sefer Higyonei Halacha. A lot of these sources I stole from Rav Mirsky's piece on this. But here's a great thing. Okay, the Gemara and Megillah says as follows. Tana Rabbanan. Arba'im u'shmona nevi'im. There were 48 prophets. V'sheva nevi'ot. And 7 prophetesses. Try to say that at home. Nitnabu lahem li'Yisrael. Who prophesied to the Jews. V'lo pitchu v'lo hotiru al mashe katuv v'Torah. They didn't add and they didn't subtract from anything written in the Torah. Chutz mi mikra Megillah. Meaning the reading of Megillah was the first kind of innovation, the first new mitzvah that was introduced by prophets. How'd they do it? My Dorush. What was the source? Amrav Chiya bar Avin, Amrav Yeshua ben Karcha. This was their drasha. Uma me'avdut l'cheirut amrinan shira. If we say, we praise God, if we say Hallel for having gone out, from slavery to freedom. But we were not, power wasn't going to kill us in Mitzrayim. We were slaves. It was miserable. And we were freed. So he said, if you say Hallel for that, Mimita Lechaim lo kol shekein. Well, if that's true, then certainly if we escaped an edict of death, as we did at the time of Haman and Ahasuerus, where they were going to kill us, and God saved us, and now we're alive, certainly we should say Hallel then. Right, everybody see it? If you say Hallel simply from going out from slavery to freedom, then of course you should say Hallel if you were saved from death. So the Gemara asks there, wait, Ihachi Neima Hallel. Hallel Nami Neima, right? If that's really true, and the reason why we say Megillah on Purim is because they said Hallel on Pesach when they left Egypt. So certainly when our lives were saved in the story of Purim, we should say Hallel. So says the Gemara, great, so why don't we say Hallel? We don't say Hallel on Purim. But if that's the source, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? The Gemara has three answers, but we want the answer of Rava. Rava, who in source number 11 said, on Pesach, you have to feel like you left Egypt. Votano hotzi misham. Rava says as follows. The reason why they don't say Hallel in Purim is Bishlama Hasam. No, over there, with respect to Yitziat Mitzrayim, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Paro. The reason why we say Hallel is because we were once slaves to Paro and now we're free. Elahacha, but in the Purim story, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh. Is it true that we could say praise to God because we're God's servants and not the servants of Achashverosh? It's not true. Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Even at the end of the Purim story, we remain slaves to Achashverosh, meaning it's true, God saved our lives, but we didn't achieve full freedom. Everybody with me? Because in the end, we were still subject to whatever Achashverosh would decide to do to us going forward. Now, what's the unstated part of this Shita of Rava? The unstated part is, in order to say Hallel on Pesach, we would still have to be free. Everybody with me? The theory is, okay, we say Hallel on Pesach because we used to be slaves, and now we're free. We don't say Hallel on Purim, because even at the end of the Purim story, we were still slaves to Ahasuerus. So part of Rava's Shita that we have to say Va'otanu Hotzi Misham, that we ourselves were saved from Egypt. The second part of that is, what does it mean to be saved from Egypt? It means that we're free. Says Rava, the only way we could say Hallel at the Seder as if we feel as if we're actually free. Because if we don't feel it, there's no justification for saying Hallel. Right? This is incredible insight that you don't say Hallel on Purim because we're not really free. We do say Hallel on Pesach because we are free. Aye, but what if we're not? There were plenty of times in Jewish history where we didn't feel, where we actually were not free. Right? And maybe nowadays we feel like we're, you know, not to beat on it, but we feel like we're subject to some terrible gzeirah and we're not really free. Says Rava, it doesn't matter what's going on outside of your Seder. If you could generate within yourself the feeling of freedom, if you could generate within yourself the feeling that God took me out of Egypt and he took me out of Egypt for a purpose, and I'm going to fulfill that purpose, then you're able to say Hallel at the Seder, but only because you actually feel it. And if you didn't feel it, it would be questionable whether you could say Hallel at the Seder. And so just to sort of recap, we started with this strange mitzvah of Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim. There's a standalone obligation for us to feel or see ourselves as if we left Egypt. There were two possibilities of understanding that. One was the Avudraham, which is do whatever you have to do to feel that way. And if you feel that way, you yotze the mitzvah. The other shita was of the Rambam, that it's not lirot et atzmo, but it's leharot et atzmo. It's an act-based mitzvah, and you have to do all these actions so that others will see you, and others will conclude that you look like a person who left Egypt. Okay? Now, that includes, obviously, things that are mitzvahs that night, like eating matzah, like heseba, like dalet kosot, but it's expanded in later poskim, certainly in the Shulchan Aruch, and we've expanded it further, to things that are not just mitzvos on their own, of mitzvah drabbanan, but things that will help us feel as if it happened to us. That includes setting a beautiful table in the Shulchan Aruch. That includes setting the table early in the Aruch HaShulchan. That includes in our lives, I believe, getting dressed up, doing things that make it feel special. The whole idea being that we do all of these things, we tell the story of the Exodus, and we try to internalize it so that at the end of the Seder, after Magid, we can say Hallel. Something we never do the rest of the year at night, but something that only comes about as a result of the feeling that would generate within us the spontaneous act of praising God. Again, on Rosh Chodesh, this Thursday, we're going to say Hallel, because there's a mitzvah to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Again, a different shiur, not so clear that that's true. We will recite Hallel, but at Leil HaSeder, we won't recite Hallel, we'll sing Hallel spontaneously, as if something great just happened to us. And that's why Rava says that we have to feel, we have to say that we ourselves left Egypt, because when we say we ourselves left Egypt, what we're saying is we believe that God did it to us, that God's doing to us now. And even if we have to overcome some things that are distracting and some things that might make us feel that God is not caring for us as he promised he would, we have to overcome those. And at Leil HaSeder, we have to be focused on Yitziat Mitzrayim and focused on the experience. And we have to find a way to ignore all of the distractions and all the terrible things that we're living through, because the purpose of the Seder is once a year to go back in history and make an event that happened 3,300 years ago feel as if it just happened to us now. Okay? Yash koach to everybody. And I guess I'll see you next Tuesday. Okay? Have a great day, and everybody should be healthy and all good things.
Thank you, Rabbi.